It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hey, 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 closet dwellers and closet busters. It is time once again for the Coming Out Lounge. We are winding down to that time frame where we're actually about to switch this over. Yeah, we're getting really close to switching the brand over to Life Uncloseted. My name is Rick Clemens, Coming Out Coach. And today I'm really, really excited to be sharing this next guest with you because you know what? Parenting, boy, it is one of those labors of love and a love of labor. And especially when you add to the mix this interesting twist of being a same-sex household, all sorts of interesting things can start to happen. And I know as a same-sex gay household having two dads, there always seems to be something even more of a twist for us because, you know, society's expectations are, hey, us guys don't know how to do this. They need that feminine energy, that female role model, all that sort of stuff, which is pretty similar to when it's two women, but there is something I believe that is just kind of more challenging with two guys, at least from a traditional societal viewpoint. But I'm here to say that's not true, and so is my guest. His name is Brian Rosenberg. He is the founder of Gays with Kids, and he's joining us today to talk about everything that he and I can squeeze into 30 minutes of talking about what it is really like to be gays with kids. And I love what he's doing because it's just a cool community. I'm going to kind of let him take it and tell us about it here in a few minutes. It's a cool community where he and his husband have really stepped into a space of, you know, really, truly making this even more acceptable to be gays with kids. So before too much time gets away from us, let's welcome to the podcast, Brian Rosenberg. Brian, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy day to be with us today, man.
Thank you, Rick. It's really a pleasure and an honor to be here. I really appreciate you inviting me. So thank you.
Absolutely. So Brian has been kind of a superman. I have to tell you, he and his husband just did a move over the weekend. We're recording this on a Monday. And as soon as he called in, I'm like, man, you're a superhuman, because I can tell you that if my husband and I had just moved, I would have been saying, no, how, no way am I doing anything other than like trying to get the boxes unpacked right now.
Really, you have a lot of boxes.
I'm sure you do, because you got a pretty good sized family. There's what, the two of you and three kids, right?
And three children, yes.
And the ages of the kids range from what ages?
Sure. Levi is our oldest, and he is 8. And then he has twin sisters, Ella and Sadie, and they're 6 and a half.
Okay, so you definitely have your hands full, no doubt. Those are some of the funnest years. But when you got the kids, they were pretty young, weren't they?
Yes. So Levi, we adopted at birth. We took him home from the hospital on the 5th day of his life. And then the girls came to us through surrogacy. Mm-hmm. We arrived at the hospital about 3 hours after they were born through C-section. Wow. And we took them home a few days later.
So it sounds like that being parents for you and Ferd were just, was this always something you guys wanted? Or was it just something as you guys were together, you started talking about and go, you know, it might be nice to have kids. Give us a little bit of that story of how you guys decided it was time for you to do the parenthood journey.
Sure. So I've always loved children. I'm very close with my nieces and nephews, with, you know, my husband's nieces and nephews. I've always enjoyed it when good friends of mine from college and high school, when I got together with them and their children. But honestly, as a gay man, you know, I just never thought it was going to be an option for us. And on top of that, I became HIV positive 5 years ago. And so I just really thought that being gay and my HIV status, there was absolutely no way fatherhood was ever in the picture. And it wasn't until after, you know, I became HIV positive when a lot of people died and I went to way too many funerals. So it wasn't until after the new treatments came out that prolonged our lives indefinitely that my husband and I started talking about what the future might hold for us. And that was the first time we started thinking about parenthood. And so what did we do? We got a dog. And it was really, Duke was, that we consider him was our first child. And we quickly found that we loved having another entity counting on us, depending on us, and just giving us all love and giving him it all back. Over the course of a few years, we said, imagine we have this much love for our dog. And you know, we did love him and he was really special, but he's still a pet. We said, imagine, you know, what it would be like if we were dads. And that's when my husband said to me, and Brian, I really think you absolutely must be a dad because, you know, you love children and babies. And I think you're only going to be happy in your life if you are a dad. And that's when we started our journey.
That's awesome. And there is something about it. You know, I remember when I was married, so I was in a heterosexual marriage, and it had crossed my mind a few times. And then it was, we were on the career track, you know, we'd been married,
right.
I don't know, probably probably about 7 years. And it was just like, okay, let's just keep doing life. And then when we found out we were pregnant, I was like all in. I was like, okay, I'm total dad. Let's get the room ready. Let's do all this sort of stuff. And even with my second one, I was like, I'm so ready, you know, and I'm so glad, even though my life took twists and turns till I finally came out, I'm so glad that the kids are part of my life. In fact, just before we hopped on to start airing this, my oldest daughter and I were on the phone talking about her potential job opportunities now that she's graduated from college and she's getting some opportunities happening. And now she's, you know, sending me pictures of some places she's looking at to rent. And I'm like, okay, this shit's really happening. They're moving on and doing their thing, you know, but it's such a beautiful journey. So you got Levi and then you guys surrogated with the girls. So
yeah. So take a step back.
Sure.
Yeah, so Ferd and I were actually together close to 15 years by the time we were like 13 years when we said, okay, let's start to investigate parenthood. And then we thought we really wanted to become dads. We wanted to build our family through adoption. And as in many, you know, instances of men and anyone who's built a family through adoption, there was thought we had a baby before Levi and it didn't end up working out for us. And so we thought, well, you know, we're already getting up there. We're already in our 40s, mid-40s. Maybe we should figure out another way to become dads. And that's when Ferd really investigated surrogacy. At the time, I didn't think that was an option for me again because I'm HIV positive. Mm-hmm. And he found out that, lo and behold, there was a clinic in outside of Cambridge, Mass, that worked with HIV positive men who wanted to become biological dads, both heterosexual and gay men. And you know, at the time, they had, I think, delivered like 90 babies, HIV negative babies to HIV positive dads and HIV negative moms. And so we said, okay, well, we can both try to become dads the biological way too. And right when we signed a contract with that agency, with the fertility clinic and the surrogacy agency, and we met the clinic, the research lab to help, you know, me become a dad, we got a call from our adoption agency. And a beautiful baby boy was born in Brooklyn. And so, like, literally, we had just signed those contracts days prior. And so, you know, the next day we got a call back and said that the baby was healthy and we should come pick him up the next day. So we really got 1.5 to 2 days advance notice. And that baby was Levi. And we were just head over heels in love with him immediately and stole our hearts. And we said, you know what? We don't want Levi to be an only child. Since we've already started the process for surrogacy, we'll try it once and we'll see what happens. And if it didn't work out, we planned on adopting more. And of course, that's how our daughter Sadie and Ella came to be.
Awesome. So here you guys are in your 40s, right? When all this started to happen.
So Levi is 8 and I was mid-40s and Ferd was just getting close to 50.
Wow, what a big undertaking, but it sounds like it's everything you've wanted it to be, and some
more. It really is. For us, our lives were at a point where we were just sort of looking, you know, existentially, what could give our lives meaning? What do we want to do? And what's important for us in the future and our legacy, et cetera? And it just, for us, the answer was so clear, it came down to being dads. I don't think that that's, you know, necessarily the path for everyone, but for those for whom it is the path, you know, I want to make sure every gay man knows how to become a dad because there are multiple paths to choose from and you have to decide what's best for you, both in terms of your financial resources and your personality and your moral beliefs, etc. So we help, you know, my plan is that we want to make sure that anyone who wants to become a dad knows exactly how to do that.
Yeah.
It's complicated.
Yeah, it is complicated. I know. I've had many, many friends in the LGBT world who've tried to do the adoption, the surrogacy. And what I always say is, you know, those who think that we aren't the people who should be raising kids don't realize the hoops that we go through to get to raise children. And I wish
that's exactly right.
Yeah, because it's not only a financial thing. There's a lot of other stigmas and stuff that come along with it. So you started your family, and Gays with Kids was just an idea at first, and then Levi came along, but it wasn't until a little bit later that you actually decided to launch the website, right?
Yeah, so what happened, Levi was born, and I realized quickly a couple of things. Number one is I realized that, you know, the parenting industry and others really all presumed that moms were solely responsible for the rearing of children. I mean, Literally, we went into retail stores to get, when Levi was 5 days old, to get all his stuff that he needed. And like half the things had labels on them that said things like, mommy tested, mommy approved, made with loves by moms, for babies by moms, etc. And I remember at some point looking over at my husband and just half jokingly said, you know, we're not supposed to be buying this for us. And so I remember at the time thinking, there's got to be a community of dads out there who would be offended by this and who would want to feel more included, forgetting gay dads. But there was absolutely nothing, and there was really nothing at that time, or very little, for dads in general. The second thing that we realized soon after becoming dads was that, well, you know, like any other parent across the world, we're confronted with a host of issues. Many of them, like I said, are similar to all parents. However, there definitely were a host of issues that were unique to us because we're gay men. So, for example, I had come out many, many years before. I came out before I met Ferd, and we're going to be together 25 years next June. And, you know, that journey had taken place so long ago. It was behind me. I didn't think I ever have to think about coming out. Well, when you become a dad, you're constantly coming out. The pediatrician, wherever you take the kids, to daycare, to school, to the kids, you know, peers, classmates, and their parents, you're constantly having to come out. And you have to sort of explain your family in a way that gives your children, you know, comfort and support and love so that they can then explain or be prepared to respond to comments that other children will make who really are just, you know, they don't know, it's new to them. So I was just surprised at like how often, you know, we face that.
Yeah, it is crazy. And even as a guy who has an 18 and a 22 year old, it's still amazing to me, you know, the coming out journeys that happen. You know, it's like, okay, I thought I was on this, but you know what I've learned, and I continue to learn, is we'll never be beyond this, because now that I've got 18 and 22 year olds, now we're to the space where we're, you know, we're dealing with dating, we're dealing with down the road, potential marriages and things like that. Yep. And then of course, then we'll have grandkids at some point, I'm quite sure. So it's always a continuum. And what I wish other people could really understand, and I know a lot of good-hearted heterosexuals do get this, but they don't have to do any of this. They don't have to explain away any of this stuff that we have to constantly be in a way, you know, even as my youngest daughter is preparing for college, it's like, okay, here we go again. Now I've got to go. I'm going this week to an orientation thing. I'm going to have to explain, I'm sure, in some of the parent interactions that I have, that I'm a gay parent. You know, now my daughter's got to explain that she's got gay dads, which she's totally cool with. She's her own person. She'll kick ass and take names with anybody who doesn't like it. But it's just one of those things where it is such a journey. And what I love about what you guys are doing with Gays with Kids is you're really starting to just provide beautiful resources, lots of information, great blog articles, links to lots of things that, you know, guys to guys can really use, because it is, and I don't want to diss our lesbian sisters, but there's something different about when it's two women and kids, there's a little bit more acceptance than when it's two guys. And we go through these things that are marginalized conversations, whether it be in Babies R Us or when you're at a toy store or when you go to, it's just these things that come up. So I just want to applaud you for the things that you're doing. So as you've been building the business, what have been some of the challenges you guys have gone through? Because I know you guys have pretty much been doing it on your own until just recently. So what are some of the challenges of really getting this thing off the ground?
We have. So getting off the ground was, you know, we had three little ones at home. Bert was a full-time stay-at-home dad, and I had a full-time job. And so just finding the time to make it happen. But I just knew that I wanted us to be able to connect with other gay dads. I wanted us to help other gay men who were interested in fatherhood, to help them become dads. But really, even more so, I wanted to be able to, I knew that there were all these stories out there of gay dads that, you know, no one was sharing or telling. We've now published a couple thousand stories. I mean, no two stories are exactly the same. Yeah. And by the way, one thing I did want to point out, Rick, we, you know, from the get-go, Gays with Kids was meant to be a safe, supportive environment for any gay dad. And I'm really proud that we've also done a lot in covering and sharing stories of men who became dads through heterosexual relationships and then, you know, later on came out. We've shared, you know, probably hundreds of those stories as well. And we've got instances where those ex-wives are, you know, the best friends and the families, and instances where it really did not work out so well, and, you know, share everything because we want everyone to know that, you know, this is our reality and this is how it happens and mm-hmm. this is how you can deal with it. And we'll try to give you advice and tips from people who've watched your, you know, those steps ahead of you. So yeah, we've really done a lot with that.
And the thing that I think is so important about these sort of sites and endeavors is I've had a few people, you know, I've been doing this for 6-7 years now, so I've had my shares of getting beat up on, you know, social media and in right. some really interesting forums and stuff too. But it's the, can you just hear what we have to say? You don't have to agree with us. You don't have to accept who we are. Just hear that if you pull back the layers of everything that's being shared and discussed, there's really not a whole lot, really a whole lot different other than it's a same-sex couple sort of thing. We still have the same challenges raising kids. We still have the same challenges getting, you know, children conceived. We have the same challenges with adopting and foster care. We have the same challenges of going through relationship issues and divorces and breakups and all this sort of stuff. And at the end of the day, the only thing that makes us slightly different is it's a same-sex couple. Plain and simple. There's still love in the family. There's still joy of being parents. There's still, you know, love between two individuals that really love one another. And just the fact that you just shared that you and Ferd are going to be on your 25th anniversary, I just look around and I go, okay, so please raise the hands of those out there in the world that can say they've been together for 25 years. That in and of itself is just a huge milestone that I think a lot of people tend to miss. They get hung up in the, oh my God, gays with kids. That's just, you know, that's just not right. Well, there's a whole mm-hmm. lot of right with it. The thing that I'm so glad you guys are doing, because you're making it right to be with this. So
thanks. And that's really how we approach it. So we're not explaining our ability to parent, our rights to parents,
right.
the fact that our families are the same, no better, no worse than anyone else's. Because in my opinion, when I made the decision to become a dad, when I talked about, really for us, it was about two things, our age and my HIV status. And when we talked it through with our doctors and they all said, yes, you can do this and you can, you know, your kids will know you through into your old age. When we made that decision to do that, you know, I don't have to explain myself to anyone else, and no gay man who's interested in becoming a dad has to do that as well. Just, you know, go ahead and do it. You're amongst friends here. And yeah, we've never once, you know, we've really gone out of our way to make sure that everyone understood, like, we start at a base level where we just know that it's just as normal and okay for us to be dads as heterosexual men.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's so important that we put it back to the basics of parenting and fatherhood.
Right.
That's what it's really about. And
exactly.
How your family shows up in the world is how they show up in the world. It just happens to be a family. You know, I remember the very first few times that we traveled when my husband and I got together, and the first times we actually traveled with the girls, and it was some dicey situations at time. I remember once when we took him on a cruise and we were coming back in from Mexico, and, you know, he doesn't have the same last name as I did at that time, because even when we got married, we didn't change it. But he went right through immigration and everything, and then I came through with the girls, and while I had their birth certificates with me, they weren't the official ones. They were copies. And so I kind of got hung up. And of course, I'm looking down the hallway and my husband's kind of standing there and he's trying to, you know, talk to me from a distance. And they're like, you know, they're kind of holding him back saying, you can't talk to them. They're in customs. I'm like, great. Well, how is this going to go down? You know, I suddenly felt very alone. And then they see us, you know, he's Hispanic, I'm this white guy, and we're kind of trying to have this conversation. You can imagine the kind of thoughts that people had going through their heads at that point. It's like, here I am with these two little girls, which obviously looked enough like me that they could tell they were mine, but it was just this minor thing. But you almost want to scream because it's like, seriously, the insinuations. And I can tell you, there's been several times when the girls were young, so, and even recently, it's actually been a little bit more awkward recently when we've gone on trips and we share the same hotel room because, you know, hey, I'm sorry, we're a family, we're trying to conserve money too. And it's like, okay, so two adult men and two young adult women checking into the same hotel room, there's been a few eyebrows raised. And it's like, these are our daughters, so get over it. You know? So what's the future for Gays with Dads? What would you really like to see this turn into beyond what you've already created, man?
Sure. So, you know, it's really been a labor of love for the first couple of years, 2.5 years. And earlier this year, I am really grateful. We've got an amazing group of advisors who are dedicated, passionate, and very media savvy, which I was not, who are helping us transition from this labor of love into building, you know, a solid business plan so that Gays with Kids will be a self-sustaining business entity to grow and offer whatever products and services and needs our growing and diverse community needs in the days and years ahead. So I'm really excited to take Gays with Kids from my little baby into making it into, you know, a real business. Mm-hmm. In fact, we're launching a new website next week. It's a fairly new platform that is really meant to help publishers who've got really cool and sort of unique content to get it out there in ways that you just can't usually do with most blog sites. So very excited about that as well.
It's always exciting to see that stuff happen because I've been through, and actually I'm right in the midst of my rebranding happening too. And each time you get to go through it, it's like, okay, it's just like raising a child. You see your business grow.
Yes.
Step and one more step and one more step. In fact, early on in my coaching career, and I'm talking beyond when I was running my other businesses, one of my mentors said, you know, that here's the thing that most entrepreneurs make a mistake in. They try to make their toddler or their infant business walk before it can run. They need to realize your business has stages just like your children do. You start as an infant, then you're the toddler, then you're the kindergarten, you know, you kind of go. And as you grow, yes, there's going to be spurts of growth that like, whoosh, there you go, you know, but people try to make things bigger than they need to be at that time. And, you know, after doing this for 10 years, I can say amen to that. You got to like take it as it goes and let them grow and really bring it forward. So what's been one of the most heartwarming things for you being behind the scenes, well, really behind and the front scenes person of this, what's been one of the most heartwarming things for you as you've watched this business come into fruition?
Sure. Well, I think two things. One is the communications I get. And I say communications because they come in email, they come in comments to Facebook posts or to tweets or to Instagram posts, et cetera, or YouTube channel, from people who just say things like literally as simple as thank you. Thank you for putting a face to our families. Thank you for letting me know what my future can look like. Thank you for helping me to explain my family to other people. And these comments come from men across the nation and I kid you not, across the world. I got a few comments from people who live in places where, you know, it's scary to be gay. You can get imprisoned or much worse. And I get comments from those people saying, thank you for inspiring me to live for the future where someday I can live my true self. And that just, you know, I cry every time I get those messages. And so that really makes me feel great. And the second thing is, and this I just was not expecting at all, several moms approached me. And each one was with the same message, which was, thank you. I don't know how they found us, but thank you so much. You know, I have a teenage son who recently came out and you shared with us what his life could look like. Because my husband and I didn't understand what his life could look like. And now we know, and we're really excited, and we're proud, and we're hopeful for him. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, to get moms to come up to me like that is just, wow. You know, I came out at a time, it still happens, right? Not everyone's supportive. So, but certainly when I came out, many were not. But to get that, really, it just, you know, my heart burst, and I just am like, in Jewish, we would say excelling. I'm just really excited.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think what's so cool about it is you are paving the way and showing light in another way. I know each time I get to go speak at a college or a university, and then they find out that I'm a dad and I have college-age students, and I've been in a gay relationship, and I've been with my husband for 15 years and all that. It's kind of like, I wouldn't say it's shock, but there's a little bit of awe now. It's more of a, okay, it's not shocking to hear somebody who's out, but now there's like, oh, so they're pretty much normal people too. And it's just, it's always interesting. There's not a huge amount of those people that are even in that space, but to see a few of those faces go, oh, okay, I kind of get this, you know? And of course, then there's those that are like, yeah, I still don't support you no matter what. And I'm like, that's totally cool too. I don't So that's awesome. Well, so here's one of the questions I always ask as we wrap things up. It's, you know, if you could give someone a bit of advice about parenting or coming out or whatever it may be. And I know you probably could, we could probably do 30 minutes just on that. If there's a last little bit of advice you'd like to leave listeners with and really show them, you know, give them something and go, okay, that made a lot of sense to me. What would it be like to leave with the listeners?
So what I would say is, you know, number one is that every gay man should know now that parenting is absolutely something that he can consider for his own path. And I think that's really important to know. And it's very complicated. Come to Gays with Kids. I promise will help make sense of the different options that are available to you. Mm-hmm. But everyone, if you want to be a dad, you should be a dad. And there are ways to do it that'll fit your budget, and it'll fit your personality, et cetera. So if you're thinking about it, I encourage you to investigate. And if you're considering, you're really interested in it, you know, if it's a major dream of yours, just go forward and make that dream come true, because you will never regret it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like one of those pieces of yourself that I remember right after my husband and I got together. We've probably been together a couple of years, and there was a moment. So the girls would have been, I think our youngest would have been maybe three and a half, and the oldest one would have been almost seven. And we kind of had a conversation about, what do you think? Do we want a boy along the way? Because they came from my, you know, previous marriage, so biological kids. Mm-hmm. And we kind of tossed it around a little, and I think both of us went through that space of, it would be really nice to have a boy to kind of quote unquote carry on, you know, the legacy, so to speak. But we also knew that we were doing pretty good with just what we had. And
that's great.
It was one of those moments when, you know, you have those moments as a couple where you're like, okay, we really did make a solid decision here together. And I share that only because if you're dialed in, as you just said, Brian, if you're really dialed in to feeling like parenthood is for you, do whatever it takes to really go explore it, to be it, to dive into it, because I agree with you. You'll never regret it. And there'll be days you'll be like, what the hell did I do?
Yes.
But
absolutely.
In the long run, and in the grand scheme of things, every time I think about my kids, I mean, I'm sitting here in my office right now staring at a box that's packed for my youngest one to take to college. And it's like, yeah, I will never regret any piece of this journey.
No, every time I come home, if I've been away for more than a few hours, and, you know, my kids, especially Levi, comes running up to me and the big hug, you know, just nothing's better than that.
Yeah, there's nothing better than that. And you know what? I have to say, this has been one of my most enjoyable interview that I've ever done, because I just love when I can bring something unique and different. It's not always just about coming out stories. This is about family. This is about love. This is about bringing something new and different to the world. And if I could give you a hug right now, Brian, I'd give you a huge hug just because of what you have brought.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Thank you for your work.
Absolutely, man. And I just appreciate you taking time out to be with us here today.
My pleasure. I hope I've helped inspire some men to consider fatherhood.
Awesome. So there you have it, Closet Dwellers and Closet Busters. Another episode of the Coming Out Lounge has just wrapped up. Thank you so much for listening. I so appreciate each and every one of you who tune in and take in these interviews and my riffs and rants and everything to help hopefully improve your life in some way, shape, or form as you're on your journey coming out to be your most truthful self. And, you know, one of the things that's really important to me is that this podcast gets shared over and over and over again to those who this may be their only way of finding some help and support to get them through these tougher parts of life. So if you could just do a rating and review, that would be super cool. Do it at iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, wherever you're listening to us. Just give us a little rating review. And if you feel like sharing, just especially on iTunes, just hit that little share button and boom, you can share it with whoever you want in a message, an email, however you want to do it. Another thing you might want to do is also go to the Coming Out Lounge website. You'll see a little icon there that says Get Rick's Book, and you'll see my smiling, beautiful face, and give yourself the gift of reading the book. It's kind of humorous. What's more than kind of humorous? It's kind of funny. What's more than kind of funny? It is funny, but it's also really real about your journey coming in and out of the closet, and I would love to share that with you. So go ahead, take advantage of that, and grab a copy of my book. And until next time, we hope you just keep stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into living your powerful truth. Take care, everyone, and have a good one.